John 10, 1 through 21. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rena, and I am associate pastor here at Church Without Walls. And I don't know about you, but when I hear this passage, I'm struck by many things. It's such a vivid passage, all these pictures, all these images, so much so that it almost makes me think like of a play. And I think about, you know, if this were a play, how many different characters we would see. So many, in fact, all this different action unfolding. We're actually going to have some characters help us explore that tonight. Let's think about some of these characters we'd encounter. First off, we have the sheep. And the sheep are in the sheepfold, which has a gate. The gate serves as the only entrance or exit. At the gate, we have a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for the right people to come in or out. We hear in verses 2 and 3 that the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd. We see that the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and that the shepherd calls the sheep by name.
Adam.
He leads them out, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. We also learn that there are some who are a thief and a bandit, who try to get into the sheepfold by another way, not through the gate. And that there are strangers who might try to get the sheep to follow. But the sheep won't, because they don't know the voice of the stranger. A little later in the passage, we're introduced to the hired hand. The hired hand cares for the sheep. But as soon as the wolf comes and stalks menacingly, the hired hand runs away. This is contrasted with the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We learn that while the good shepherd lays down his life, he has the power to take it up again. All right, let's take a good look at our whole cast of characters here. Now, in this passage, Jesus actually identifies himself not with one of these characters, but with two of them. And I'd like to ask you just to call out, if you can remember, which two of these characters does Jesus identify himself as? I hear the gate. Let's have the gate step forward. And the shepherd. Let's have the shepherd step forward. So our question tonight is, how is Jesus both the gate for the sheep and the shepherd that leads the sheep through the gate? How is he both? Tonight we'll look at that together. How Jesus saying, I am the gate and I am the shepherd fit together. And how that's part of how he leads us into abundant life. So let's go ahead and give another round of applause for our gracious actors. And let me go ahead and pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for your word for us tonight. We thank you that you are the gate and that you are the good shepherd. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So tonight we are in the final week of a series we've been in all fall studying the book of John. And that series has been called The Abundant Life, Invitations from Jesus in the Gospel of John. And tonight we actually get to dig into this passage that gives our series its name. In verse 10, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So we'll get to dig into that together tonight. In this series, we've also been looking at different interactions that Jesus has with people and kind of asking two primary questions. What is Jesus revealing about himself? And what is the invitation to us? And so tonight, we're going to go ahead and look at these two big I am statements that Jesus makes in this passage. I am the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. And we're going to ask those questions. What is Jesus revealing, and what is the invitation for us? So let's start by taking a look at this passage, I am the gate, where Jesus says, I am the gate. In verses 7 through 10 here, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So let's just start with that statement, I am the gate for the sheep. Now in this context, Jesus has been talking about a sheepfold kind of along the way. And this is a picture of what an ancient sheepfold may have looked like. As you can see, not real fancy, usually built kind of out of stones, and sometimes they put thorns around the top. And sometimes shepherds would actually build sort of quick sheepfolds out in the wilderness just by taking branches and again putting thorns around the top. The purpose was really to have a safe place for the sheep where they'd be protected from predators, from wild animals that might come after them, and also from people who might try to steal in and take the sheep. So it's a safe place for the sheep, and as you can see in this picture, there's only sort of one way in and out, and that is the gate. Now let's look at what Jesus says. Let me move this back to our passage here. About sort of the connection between the gate and the sheep, how that plays out. So in verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." So I think Jesus here, he's kind of describing the healthy, natural life of the sheep, right? So in moments of danger or at nighttime when they needed protection and safety, the sheep would come into the sheepfold and they would be there. It's a safe place, a place to rest and to be protected. But come the morning or when the danger passes, the sheep don't just hang out in the sheepfold, right? Like there's nothing to eat in there. So they've got to leave. They go back out through the gate, out into the world, to seek nourishment, to find pasture, to wander the hills. We're not talking a situation where there's kind of one field right next to the sheepfold in these days that the sheep would go to. They actually really go out and explore, led out into sort of a wide diversity of places to find nourishment. So Jesus is describing this sort of healthy, natural rhythm of a sheep's life. They come in, they go out, they find pasture. And where does Jesus position himself in all of this? As the gate, right? The gate. The one through which the sheep pass coming in, the one through which the sheep pass going out, that in kind of this coming and going of their normal life, they're passing over and over and over again through the gate. And Jesus is saying, "I am that gate." In verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so kind of this life he's describing, the back and forth, the coming and going that the sheep are doing, passing through the gate, he's calling this the abundant life. This is the picture of what this abundant life looks like for the sheep and Jesus as the gate within that. I think it's easy to read a statement like, "I am the gate," and to have this picture in your head of kind of this gate through which you cross kind of this one-time thing, and then you enter into this enormous field, and forever and ever you're sort of out there. It's this one-time passage. But I actually think here the way that Jesus is describing this is a little bit different than that. For sheep, they could go through the gate over and over and over again, every day. It's a central passageway, the point through which they enter every part of their life, season after season, day after day. The sheep go through the gate for safety and protection. They go through the gate for rest. They go through the gate for nourishment. They go out through the gate for freedom, dare I say for adventure and exploration, that it's not all scripted where they're going to be heading. They go out through the gate into the world, they return, and it's this gate that they pass through over and over and over again. I believe that Jesus is showing us in this picture about sheep and our life as sheep in this story, that in our comings and goings, we have constant access to the abundant life through the gate that is Jesus. I think sometimes we can think about the abundant life like this thing, you know, I am going to step into the abundant life, and it's like this life in a parallel universe that I am suddenly going to get, you know, catapulted into this life that's somehow different than mine. And I think one of the things Jesus is showing us here is that we get to cross into the abundant life. We have access to it every day, all day, in the comings and goings of our own life, as we enter through the gate, as we come in, as we go out, that we enter through Jesus into the abundant life, that he gives us that access in our day-to-day. The abundant life isn't far off. It's not somebody else's life that you jump into, but it's in our own, as we engage it through the gate, through Jesus. So I think the revelation for us is that Jesus is the gate to the abundant life. And the invitation is to pass through the gate into abundant life in our own daily circumstances, through the gate, day after day, in our comings and our goings. Let's look now at the Jesus statement, I am the good shepherd. So in verses 11 through 13 here, Jesus says for the first time in this passage, I am the good shepherd. And then he contrasts it with this story about the hired hand who runs away. And I think it's really helpful to know that this picture of sort of the good shepherd contrasted with the hired hand is, and this isn't the first time that this comes up in scripture, that Jesus is actually referencing back to a prophecy that, that was made in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 34, about 600 years before Jesus, where God sends a message through Ezekiel to what he calls the false shepherds of Israel. Israel's leaders at the time, God is saying, we're not caring for the sheep. And I think it's helpful to understand when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, kind of what he means, the image he's pulling forward by reading a little bit of this. So I'm going to go ahead and read this out loud. This is from Ezekiel 34. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered they became food for all the wild animals. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. So as Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, I am the fulfillment. I am the embodiment of God's promise to be the good shepherd to the sheep, to heal, to bind up, to feed, to seek out the lost. I am the fulfillment of God's promise. I'm the full revelation of that. Here and now, Jesus is saying, he's like pulling forward that whole picture of the good shepherd and saying, that is fulfilled here in me. But then I think it's really interesting to see the next thing that Jesus says. I am the good shepherd, he says. And then immediately the next thing he says is something that doesn't come out of Ezekiel 34. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And it's like, this is the full and final revelation, sort of the identity of the good shepherd. The good shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep in all of these ways that God had proclaimed to his people, that God would shepherd them. And Jesus is revealing the final piece, the picture of what God's heart looks like, that God's love for his sheep is so great that he lays down his life. Jesus lays down his life as the shepherd. This is what God's love looks like embodied in a person, literally in a body, the shepherd who seeks out and saves, who heals, who restores, and who lays down his life. So I believe the invitation, the revelation that we have now is that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And I believe the invitation we have in that to relate to Jesus as our good shepherd is this: to know the good shepherd intimately and to listen to his voice. This is something that gets repeated over and over through this passage. In verses 2 through 4, Jesus says, The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. So I was like, you know, Googling around a little bit on the internet about shepherds and sheep, because frankly, this is not something I know a lot about personally. And I wouldn't be surprised if this also for you, this isn't, you know, we live in a pretty urban place and shepherding may not be our most familiar image. So I was Googling around about this a little bit, and I was reading this story about a reporter who, kind of for the same reason, decided to go out and to actually sort of live life with a shepherd for a little while and see what it was like. So this reporter describes this situation in which the shepherd is out sort of in the wilderness with the sheep, and there's some kind of an incident or an event, some threat to the sheep, and so he leads them sort of frantically back to the sheepfold and gets them inside, and it's right as night is falling. Right, so by the time all the sheep are inside, it's dark. And not only that, it's foggy, right? So it's about as dark as it can get. You can't really see at all. And this reporter describes how in this, you know, frantic entrance into the sheepfold, the lambs had gotten separated from the mother sheep. And so, you know, they're all bawling and sort of frantic, disoriented inside the sheepfold. And the reporter describes how the shepherd goes in and by touch and sound paired all of the lambs with their mother sheep. But he was able to reconnect them because he knew how they sounded and just by feel on this foggy and dark night. This is a human shepherd with his flock. And I think it's just, it's sort of this image of how deeply intimate Jesus wants to show us that he is with us. I know you that intimately. And I want you to know me that intimately, to have that kind of connection. I want you to know my voice. And we tonight, actually, at the end of this sermon, will have some opportunities to take next steps that help us to lean in a little bit into what it means to make space to be listening to Jesus' voice and growing and knowing him. Before that now, we are going to actually hear a couple brief stories from people in our community about ways that they, in this season in their lives, have experienced the Good Shepherd as the one who leads them into abundant life. So first, I'm going to call up Cesar Peralta. He's going to come up and share a little bit in Espanol, and Humberto is going to translate for him. And then after that, we'll have Lauren Cali share, and then we'll close together.
Hola, buenas noches a todos. ¿Cómo están? Okay, me llamo César, vivo aquí en Berkeley, soy vecino aquí en Rosa Parks. Tengo tres hijos, mi esposa está allá atrás acompañándonos también. Y este.
My name is César, I live here in Berkeley, close to Rosa Parks. His wife and kids are here with him today.
Y yo quiero dar mi testimonio acerca de cómo Jesús ha entrado en mi vida como un buen pastor.
And he wants to share today how Jesus has the testimony that Jesus has come into his life as a good shepherd.
Primero que nada, Jesús ha entrado en mi vida como más que nada para servir a la gente. Me gusta mucho ayudar a la gente y hacer los problemas de ellos mi problema.
So he feels called to service to people, and so he likes to make those challenges or problems that people have his problems.
Y hoy yo también participo en los en el grupo de los jueves con Humberto y Gary y todos los amigos que hablan español.
Mm-hmm. So he also participates on Thursdays with the CIWA en español with us and some of the other members that are here.
También tuve la oportunidad de participar en un retiro que ellos me invitaron, que fue muy bueno para mi vida, para que yo viera lo que Jesús quiere para mí.
He was also able to participate in our our retreat. Thank you. Maybe he speaks better English than I do. put him in a retreat, which is very important to him because it really helped him kind of focus on Jesus and kind of understand what Jesus is calling for him in his life.
Y también hoy tuvimos la oportunidad, bueno, ellos también me invitaron a hacer un servicio de dar a la gente que menos tiene lo poco que nosotros tenemos para brindar todos en comunidad. E hicimos un servicio al centro de Berkeley.
So he's sharing that today, one of the projects that we do as a CWO in Español is we go out and do different things. And so today we actually went out to serve those who are less than we are, or at least we are. For providing
some food, so we actually made some tamales and went out and shared.
And so he had been searching for a while for Jesus, searching, and thanks to Adriana who invited him to our CEO en español, he feels that he's found Jesus in his life.
Muchas gracias.
Hi everyone, my name is Lauren Kelly, and when Rena asked me to come and share tonight how Jesus has been my abundant, or my shepherd offering me abundant life, my mind just kind of exploded because this whole year he's been meeting me and taking me to places where I didn't know that he was going to be taking me. For instance, my husband and I moved here, and we had no idea what we were coming to in Berkeley. I'm sure you can imagine that we heard lots of things. But really, we couldn't have asked or thought ourselves of a better church. And for instance, I've never had Christian friends in my life, and I do now, and I've just been shown hospitality and things about community that I've always dreamt of and read in Scripture and have known about, but I haven't experienced it. So I decided for tonight to just focus on one aspect. There are so many testimonies that I have, but just for probably the biggest one, if I'm going to be personal and vulnerable, when I met Adam and we got married, we were part of a church where it was my first church that I was able to come as kind of an adult and learn how to be a member fully and serve. And it was a great church. I miss them. We left them behind in Cleveland. And not to talk bad about any church, because this can happen anywhere, there's some teaching there that it's not exactly right, and sometimes when that happens, we don't know that it's happening. And one of the things there, where I had come to try to serve in the ways that I feel that God has equipped me and blessed me, I wasn't able to, and it's because I'm a woman. And I didn't think it was going to affect me. I thought that I was just going to be able to live in a bubble and just hang on to my Savior and that he knew the truth about me. But it did. It stabbed me. It hindered my ministry a lot. And I lost my way a little bit. I didn't stop following Jesus. I didn't stop believing in him. But I just thought, I don't have a voice. I don't have a voice. And I'm not allowed to stand in front of people, and I'm not allowed to make decisions because I'm leading people's families. I'm not allowed to do that. He didn't make me a creation to do that. And my husband, Adam, was an elder, and so I kind of found my way, not trying to be sneaky, but if I wanted to say something, I would say, hey, Adam, and he would. And you know what, though? That it didn't sit right with him because it's not right. So actually, where I didn't want to face the truth, like, what if the church is right in this teaching? They've been teaching it and believing it for so long, and they have all these bases. Who am I to challenge it if they know they've already wrestled with these things?
Adam did. He started looking at scripture and having conversations with people, and I just wasn't ready yet. But when we decided we were going to move here, we had about 6 months to wrap things up. And part of that was I said, okay, God, I'm going to just face you in this. If I'm not supposed to serve you in the ways that I feel like I always did and feel called to, then you have to show me. And I'm not going to spend time here tonight telling you how God opened up the scriptures to me, but he did. And just one thing that I will say about it is in Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, in verse 28, he says that not just men, but women were created in his image to rule the earth. And so that tells me so much about what my place in the church is. And if you want to know more, you can come and talk to me if you have ever struggled with it or wrestled with it yourself. Coming here to Berkeley, we imagined that we may be camping because we didn't know if we could afford anywhere to live. God had a two-bedroom apartment waiting for us. We had no idea. Part of why the question of gender was so big to me is because it's always been wrapped up in what I'm going to do. And I was having a career change and we were coming here because we were coming for Adam's job, and I was trying to discern, like, what is next for me? What am I going to do? I had no idea that I was going to be going to seminary because I'm a woman. I had no idea. And God really moved through this church and just through the scriptures, and he really showed me what he has for me. So there, I just have so many testimonies from this year. I had no idea I was a feminist. And I mean that in a good way, like the way that Jesus would have me be a feminist. And it just resonates because I've always been a person about justice. Justice is what breaks down our society, or injustice is what breaks down our society. So I know that he's the good shepherd. He wants to make that right, and he wants to use not only you, but me to do that. So, amen.
So I'd like to ask you to take out your connection cards, and under next steps, there are some ways to grow together in hearing and knowing Jesus' voice as our good shepherd. First, under as a next step, you could sign up to have an Advent prayer partner. This is a season of the church year where we can lean in together in prayer, and this would be being partnered with someone with whom you would touch base once a week to share about, to encourage each other in daily prayer, to share about what you're hearing, and to learn from each other in prayer. So if you'd like an Advent prayer partner, please check that. Second, if you would like to have Ignatian exercises emailed to you during Advent, Ignatian exercises are spiritual exercises involving prayer and scripture study, and they're a very powerful way to engage with Jesus and deepen in Jesus. So if you'd like to have that emailed to you, check that. And finally, you can sign up for the Advent prayer retreat here. This, again, is just a powerful way to lean in together, to learn more together about hearing God's voice and responding. So please feel free to choose one of those or respond in another way. But we're going to continue now in worship and walk with Jesus together tonight and into the weeks to come as our gate and our good shepherd.